Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to it is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Kelly, still on vacation for Christmas. By the way, I was about to say good Friday morning to you. Christmas got me all messed up this week. Feels like the end of the week, but it is not. We do have the final Unscripted with Bill Krakenberger, Unscripted with the Crackman, final edition of 2024 coming up on the show today. Looking forward to that. And we figured out, Bill and I did yesterday, that he and I are invested in Oppo Survivor entries tonight. His on the Seahawks, mine on the Bears. We'll get into it with Crack a little later on the show. Tim Murray on college football, our own Tim Murray from VSiN. Zach Cohen, VSiN's own, on all of his bets in the National Basketball Association and NFL. And Peter Futak showing up for a little college football playoff quarterfinal preview. But we must begin with the football we saw yesterday in the National Football League. I have been railing on this show and on the podcast for weeks now about Mike Tomlin waving the white flag. And what do you know? Everybody's on board with it now because Mike Tomlin did Mike Tomlin things yesterday. First of all, KC, congratulations to those of you who had KC in this game. I was all about them, -2.5. And Kansas City has clinched the number one seed throughout the AFC playoffs. They don't play another meaningful game till January 18th, the 15-1 Chiefs. The Steelers' setback, coupled with the Ravens' win later, means the Ravens now have the AFC North on their racket. All they have to do is beat Cleveland and Baltimore, win the AFC North. Pittsburgh relegated to a wild card in that instance. Yesterday, it started out after a 3-and-out for Pittsburgh. KC, 8 plays, 58 yards. Mahomes to Worthy from 7 out. Worthy flagged for unsportsmanlike for showing his hip as if he had a holster and gun. Yeah, don't do that. Have you gotten the memo on that? Butker missing the ensuing 48-yard extra point, 6-0 Kansas City early. Then Kansas City, we talked about fumble luck yesterday, and how Kansas City had the third worst fumble luck in all of football, and it's likely to regress to the positive. Well, that's exactly what happened on the ensuing punt from Pittsburgh. Kansas City muffing it, fumble luck, though, they recovered it. And then they go 7 plays, 79 yards. Mahomes, underhand pass early to P. Ryan, which was ad-libbed for 14, and then on 4th-and-11 at their own 20. That was on 3rd-and-11 at their own 20, pardon me. And then 4 plays later to Watson, Justin Watson, from 11 out, 13-0 Kansas City with 4 minutes left in the first quarter. Later, and this is later in the half, down 13-0. This is where the game really turned. Wilson, not turned, but really was sort of solidified. The Steelers matriculate. Wilson picked in the end zone by Justin Reed. That was on a drive where he went 41 to Pickens, then 22 to Warren. I mean, Pittsburgh was getting downfield real quick. And then, no, not so much. Remember, there was a score. They scored on the previous play, but it was nullified by a penalty on a hold on Washington. Then it was the Wilson pick in the end zone to Justin Reed. Next time Pittsburgh had the ball, they did go 11 plays, 72 yards. Wilson in from 1 to cut it to 13-7. Kansas City converted a 4th-and-1 at the Pittsburgh 30. They converted on the ensuing drive, but they had a holding penalty on Juwan Taylor and had to punt. It ends up being 13-7 at 13-7, and then 13-7 at the half. Yes, 13-7 at the half. Then it will get to 16-10 as they traded field goals, and then Kansas City. And this is what they do so well: the adjustment happened. They just a 2-step drop the whole way down the field. Mahomes would just take 2 steps. He'd hit the quick out to a receiver. They did it all the way downfield. 11 plays, 77 yards. Hunt in from 2, 22-10 Kansas City. 2-point drive fails. And then here's what I'm talking about with Mike Tomlin. Pittsburgh, 3rd-and-15 at their own 25. Wilson of Freiermuth hit by Trent McDuffie. Fumbles recovered by Nick Bolton. Kansas City set up at the Pittsburgh 34. 4 plays. Mahomes to Kelsey from 12 out. 29-10. We're in the fourth quarter. 2 drives later, Pittsburgh, 3-and-out. Down again, down 19 points, 4th-and-2 at their own 22.
they decide they're going to punt. Because, of course you do, Mike Tomlin. 2 weeks after trailing the Eagles by 14 with 14:17 left in the game where he punted, he opted to punt on a 4th-and-8 at the Pittsburgh at the Philly 47 with 10:10 left. He opted to punt. And then last week, down 2 touchdowns to Baltimore with 13:06 left in the fourth quarter, he opted to punt 4th-and-12 at midfield with 9:26 left. Yesterday, he's like, I could do it a three. Here's the Mike Tomlin three-peat. 3 and out, 4th-and-2 at their own 22, down 19. He decides to punt in the fourth quarter. What are you doing? And then on the final time that Pittsburgh gets the ball, same score, 29-10 was the eventual final. They matriculate the ball down the field with no urgency whatsoever, to the point where you as a viewer are like, what am I watching here? Like, we're just playing. What are we doing? Why not just kneel on the ball if you're going to, like, lollygag down the field? Pittsburgh ends up with a 1st-and-10 at the Kansas City 19 with 37 seconds left. This had bearing on people who were betting the total in this game. We're betting on this stuff, Mike Tomlin. And, you know, they have a chance to score. They don't seem to care. Ball game. They don't worry about getting into the end zone. Mahomes, 29 of 38 for 320. They were +2 in turnovers. Remember, those two turnovers were everything. That was the 14-point swing. The Wilson pick in the end zone, and then, of course, that Freiermuth fumble, which turned into a Kansas City touchdown. Netflix, they paid $150 million for each of these games on Christmas Day. They ended up having this was the numbers on the Kansas City-Pittsburgh game. 200 different countries tuned in to watch at some point during the game. Netflix reporting that nearly 1/3 of its global subscribers, that's over over 200 countries, 1/3 of their global subscribers watched at least a part of the Chiefs-Steelers game. They have 282.7 million global subscribers. 1/3 of those, 94.23 million people tuning into this game at some point. Just by comparison, Jake Paul, Mike Tyson with all the video snafus, 65 million. Did Adam Silver hurt Roger Goodell? Did Roger Goodell just shove Adam Silver's face in the locker? My God. NBA, no one cared yesterday. Everybody's watching the NFL, and the games were blowouts. No one cared about the NBA. Plus, they had Beyonce at halftime for the second game, which is just, it's just really destroying NBA viewership. And there's no easy mechanical way to toggle from Netflix back and forth. That's the other thing about all this stuff. Game two, D'Amico Ryan said to Mike Tomlin, hey, Mike, hold my beer with the white flag waving. Watch what I do. Baltimore just destroying Houston, 31-2. I love that kind of final score. Baltimore 8 plays, 75 yards to start. Henry in from 2, 7-0. Houston punt, Tucker field goal, 10-0. 2 drives later for Houston, they pin Baltimore at their own 3. Henry 4-yard loss. That's a safety. Kamari Lassiter on the tackle, 10-2. Baltimore and Houston on the ensuing free kick. Houston matriculates. Converts a 4th-and-4 at the Baltimore 30 on a PI call. Then 4th-and-goal at the 4, down 8. They go for it. Stroud to Nixon, stuck at the 1 by Ardarius Washington. And then Baltimore goes 99 yards in 6 plays. 67 to Andrews, the big chunk on a perfect floater from Lamar Jackson, which I'll get to momentarily because you know I will. 2 plays later to Likely from 9 out, 17-2. And here's the D'Amico Ryans part of the game. 17-2 Baltimore. This is in the first half. 151 is where Houston gets the ball back, or Baltimore kicks it back with 151 left in the second quarter. Houston, 4th-and-2 at the Baltimore 43 with 118 left in the second quarter, down 17-2. After going for it twice, as we just talked about, on 4th down on the previous drive, they punt. And I texted our group, and I'm like, that's worse than anything Tomlin did in the last 3 weeks. And sure enough, the surrender index on Twitter corroborates this. They said Houston decided to punt to Baltimore from the Baltimore 43 on 4th-and-2 with 118 remaining in the second while losing 17-2. With a surrender index of 22.31, don't ask me what that is, this punt ranks at the 99.4th percentile of cowardly punts of the 2024 season and the 97th percentile of all punts in terms of the cowardly index since 1999. That's how bad that was. What are we watching? What are we watching? Anyway, Houston, Stroud got picked. Stroud was terrible yesterday, by the way. Terrible. Got picked by Kyle Hamilton to start the third quarter, and 2 plays later, It was 61 yards. Henry for 13. Then Lamar for 48. 24-2. He'd add another touchdown pass. 31-2 final. 432-211. Baltimore outpacing the Texans in total yards. Baltimore, again, controls the AFC North. Now they beat Cleveland, they win, or Pittsburgh loss and they win. They probably won't have to rely on that. They'll probably take care of Cleveland. Houston now officially locked in to the number four seed in the AFC with the AFC South title. But, man, do they look like dead man walking or dead on arrival in the playoffs, does Houston at this point. Injuries, yes, but good God, what was that yesterday? Lamar Jackson. Down to plus 180 in the MVP race. Down to plus 180. I have a Lamar Jackson ticket, plus 750. I have been sitting here on this show and talking about how Lamar Jackson, I don't know how anybody cannot vote for Lamar Jackson. Mike Sando, who's a voter, came on this show a couple weeks ago, and people destroyed him for saying that Lamar Jackson is in the driver's seat and that Josh Allen was just closing the gap. People couldn't believe he had Lamar Jackson first. Let me just lay it out for you one more time. After his 10-for-15 performance for 168 yards yesterday, 4 carries for 87 yards on the ground, Lamar Jackson's passer rating is 121.6 on the season. That's the one out of 158.3. The NFL has been doing passer rating for over a half a century. They've been doing it for 51 years. That's the second best passer rating. Yes, he has one more game. We'll see what happens. Second best passer rating in any season ever. Aaron Rodgers in 2011, the only one 0.9 points better than Lamar's 121.6. Lamar, 39 touchdowns and 4 picks. It's the sixth best ratio in NFL history. No one has ever thrown 40 touchdowns with as few as 4. And by the way, the 5 years with ratios better than his all involve less than 30 touchdown passes. So the sustained excellence of Lamar is unprecedented. 852 rushing yards, eighth most by a quarterback in NFL history. By the way, he's 19th overall in rushing in the NFL this year. And by the way, again, they win. They beat Cleveland. They win themselves a much tougher division than Josh Allen's AFC East. Coming back with Tim Murray on college football next.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
This segment of A Numbers Game is brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches. There's only one number one draft pick. There's only one champion at the end of the season. And there's only one nicotine pouch brand in America that outsells the rest, and that is Zyn. Zyn is a smoke-free, spit-free, hassle-free nicotine pouch that can be enjoyed anywhere, anytime. Find your Zyn at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Back at Circa, Gil Alexander. It's A Numbers Game right here at Visa. We get tweets and beating the book. Always appreciated. And by the way, again, happy holidays to all. Hope you had a great Christmas. I spent it here at Circa watching games on Netflix, so I didn't run into any account trouble at home, if you know what I mean. Ray Pierce, watching ANG today. It occurs to me that your greatest strength is that you don't force funny. If something comical flows naturally, great, but there's no forcing it. That drives me crazy otherwise. Thank you, Ray. We're just talking. We're just having fun. And Kelly makes it great, by the way. Hope he's doing well in Florida as well. Mariners Geek, happy Hanukkah. Been a fabulous year listening to you and Kelly. I know this year hits different now. Really appreciate you guys. Thank you, Mariners Geek. That's very nice of you. Scott, New York, Mets 16. It wasn't down 14 with 12 minutes left, but there is your concession punt. That's right. Chris D, 4th-and-2 with 6 minutes left and down 19. Punt. Gotta love Tomlin. And like I said, the D'Amico Ryans thing was as bad as Tomlin has been 3 weeks in a row with that. The D'Amico Ryans thing yesterday in the second quarter, what are we watching? What was that? Wow. And I know you probably wouldn't be the fourth seed anyway, so it didn't matter. But, dude, a little effort maybe? Ice Gold Gambler, great year, guys. Looking forward to the last segment with Crackman of 2024. Great show always, and it doesn't matter where I am in the world. I don't miss a Thursday show. Thank you, Jason. And finally, Joseph Frieda. Since it's the last unscripted of the year, can we get the super extended version of the intro music? Guys behind the glass? Gals behind the glass? Let's get the super, let's get the remix with the Missy Elliott remix where she goes picky picky on that. If we could. Tim Murray joins us now, ladies and gentlemen. You can follow him on Twitter at @1TimMurray, VSiN host. And the host of the College Football Tailgate Show, sweeping the nation. How you doing, Tim?
I'm great, Gil. Yeah, we'll have a, by the way, a little programming note. We'll have a special VSIN college football tailgate show on New Year's Day starting at noon Eastern after
Ooh,
you.
Very nice. Very nice. And, of course, the college football podcast, the college, which has done very well. You've done that for several years now. Good on you.
Appreciate it. Yeah, we'll have another. You're just leading me into, you know, programming notes for the people out there. We'll have a live tailgate podcast today, easy for me to spit out here. 4:30 Eastern. We'll be over at the D. It'll be me, Matt Humans, and Wes Reynolds, Gil.
Oh, the D. I'm unfamiliar with the D. I'm not really sure if I know where that
You've
is.
You've ever been? You've
no,
never
I don't
been,
think
huh?
I've ever been to the D before. I'll think of maybe I'll remember it by the end of the segment. All right, let's talk. I know you have plays in other bowl games. Let's start with the college football playoff.
Sure.
To begin with, starting with the Georgia, sir. You like Georgia without Carson Beck. You still love him.
I do, and well, love is a strong word. It's four letters. So I don't know if you knew that. And you know, this is one that obviously tugs at the heartstrings for me because I am a Notre Dame guy. I love. Well, no, I didn't go there. My dad went there. Love the Irish this year. But you know, it's funny because a lot of the discussion, Gil, is going to be about the loss of Carson Beck. Understandably so. He's the quarterback. Quarterbacks really move the market. But for me, I think Notre Dame is starting to trend into territory of a bridge going too far for their injuries. It was announced earlier this week, Riley Mills, their stud defensive tackle, one of their captains. He will be out the remainder of the playoffs. So if you're looking at the injuries for Notre Dame defensively, and one of the best defenses in the country, they're now without Benjamin Morrison, who's their best pro prospect at cornerback. He's been out since October. They're also out two of their edge rushers that they lost in the Purdue game, Jordan Botello and Brubacar Traore, and now they lose Riley Mills. So, look, this Notre Dame team, could they win this game? Of course. The point spread stays just 1.5. But I think for Georgia, the extended time to prepare for Notre Dame here in this spot, I think that's just where I'm looking at, you know, ultimately Georgia being able to figure things out with Gunnar Stockton. Look, it's the great unknown. We don't really know what Gunnar Stockton is going to bring to the table on New Year's night down there in New Orleans. But I think for Notre Dame, the offense looked, I'll be honest, a little bit clunky at times. They did make some big plays. Obviously, the Jeremiah Love run was one that we will remember for quite some time, the 98-yarder against Indiana. Made some plays down the field with Jordan Faison, but I think Georgia, all in all, with the extended time to rest, with Notre Dame's attrition now on defense, ultimately led me to a bet on Georgia.
All right, let's go to the other side of the bracket. You are laying the wood with Texas against Arizona State?
Yeah, so when we put out the VSIN college football betting guide, I was looking at some early lines out there, and that was Georgia as a short dog to Notre Dame, which I'm sure people would love to have in pocket right now. Ohio State was a short dog to Oregon. These look-ahead lines, which I think are, especially in the playoff era, Gil, it's kind of, in my opinion, advantageous to look at some of these look-ahead lines because the number gets voided if, in fact, the team does not make it there. So the early look-ahead line on Texas-Arizona State was 11.5. Now, it got to 14. It's now back down to 13.5. So I still would potentially look at Texas here at laying the number of 13.5. But I look at this matchup, and I know Arizona State has the rest. But when you don't have Jordan Tyson, your leading wide receiver, you were able to overcome that in the Big 12 championship game, but it was against an Iowa State defense that runs this kind of unique, wacky 3-3-5 that you're able to have some running success against. And we saw that Cam Scataboo was incredible. He's, you know, a top 10 Heisman finalist for Arizona State. But I look at Texas's defense and I do not love laying the big number like this, but look, what we saw in the quarterfinal or the first round, Gil, now in this spot, I just think it's a really tricky matchup here for Arizona State going up against Texas. So I would lay it. You could also, if you are like me and think that Georgia wins, I think you could put those two together in a money line parlay, get like plus 115 somewhere in that ballpark. I do think Texas wins. Will they cover? I think they will. I think that is, of the four games, Gil, that is the one that, in my opinion, will be the least competitive of the quarterfinals.
Who do you think wins it all, by the way? We never asked that question, but I'm just curious. Who do you think?
After what I saw in the first rounds, Ohio State.
Feels like it a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know, it's from a talent standpoint, I think this is something I'm kicking myself a little bit, Gil, about. Like, I ended up getting to the window on Ohio State a week ago. But I look at the talent that's on that roster, and I still think you could make a case for six of the teams, to win it, which I think is great for the sport. But I think from a talent standpoint, the way that they played in that first round game at home, I think Ohio State for me probably would be the team if I was forced to make a play right now. Hey, who's just going to win it? If you're, you know, going out and hanging out with a buddy, I think Ohio State would be the team that I would say emerges at the end just from the talent that they have on that roster.
All right, we got Bears Seahawks at the NFL tonight, but we do have three college football bowl games. And yes, I spent an inordinate amount of time this morning researching the sponsors on these. You don't have a play in any of these three, but we got five tomorrow, and you do have plays on two of them, beginning with Georgia Tech and Vandy in the Birmingham Bowl tomorrow morning. What do you got here?
All right, real quickly, I just want to point something out about tonight. The 68 Ventures Bowl.
Yes, sir.
We might see history. Bowling Green's tight end, Harold Fannin, needs 12 receptions to become the NCAA record holder for receptions in a season by a tight end. Books aren't dumb, Gil, and they've juiced that like crazy. I think FanDuel, last I saw, was like 9.5 minus 46 to the over. Last night it was 8.5. But if you're looking for something just to keep an eye on tonight, put a little, you know, shekels on it, maybe some alt lines, you know, depending on your book. Harold Fannin, the tight end for Bowling Green, I think could be an interesting one to keep an eye on there. Could set an NCAA record. Also, Eli Holstein, I think from all reports, is not going to play, the starting quarterback for Pitt here in the I can't remember the sponsor of the Detroit Bowl. It's like Sports Above or whatever.
Game Above, Tim. Game Above. A brand rooted in philanthropy, dedicated to inspiring greatness through sports, entertainment, and youth academies. Thanks for asking.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. Real quickly, before we get out of here tomorrow, let's do one last ride with Diego Pavia.
There you go.
It felt too trendy. As we got late in the season, they weren't able to get there. He got a little bit banged up. But if you're giving me a full field goal down in what I expect to be a very competitive football game tomorrow afternoon in Birmingham, I will take the points here with Vanderbilt. Not a ton of opt-outs to note from either side, which is kind of refreshing in this day and age. So I will take the points here with Diego Pavia and the Vanderbilt Commodores. And then, look, anything under 17, I think it might still be worth it for this Holiday Bowl. I laid 13.5 last week. You know, we saw, Gil, a team in Marshall opt out of the bowl game because so many players were in the portal. Syracuse is going up against Washington State, who will be without their head coach, their offensive coordinator, the defensive coordinator, multiple assistants, their starting quarterback. The list is just endless. It could get really ugly in the Holiday Bowl. So I guess anything under 17 at this point probably still worth a look for Syracuse against Wazoo tomorrow night.
College football, ladies and gentlemen, it is what it is. Copyright Jeff Parlay here on the show with that bowl season being top of the meaning of what he's talking about there. Thank you, Tim. Really appreciate it, man.
All right, Gil. See you, man.
Tim Murray, everybody, right here at a numbers game. Zach Cohen with all of his bets in the NFL and college football and NBA next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Ready to take your tailgate to the next level? You got to try Sewell's Barbecue, born from a backyard cookout in a mason jar of unforgettable flavor. Sewell's has become a Southern favorite, delighting taste buds from Georgia to the Carolinas. From smoky ribs and mouthwatering wings to the perfect backyard burger, Sewell's turns every bite to a flavor-packed experience. Order now at sewellsbarbecuesauce.com. I will spell it. SewellsBBQSauce.com. Sauce spelled conventionally. That's why I didn't spell it. Flavor this good, just a click away. Skill Alexander, I just want to read this this one tweet. This is from Fezzik's South Point Runner, which I love. Fezzik's South Point Runner, who says, people are shocked that the two-time MVP who's having the best season of his career is the favorite? Wait until they find out who the best player in the NBA is. Well, he's not the favorite. He's plus 180 at DraftKings. Josh Allen's still at minus 240. He's still the favorite. Though I will say this, if Josh Allen has a pedestrian performance this weekend against the Jets, Lamar Jackson will be the favorite after Sunday. So Josh cannot have two pedestrian performances in a row. But again, to me, it's a no-brainer. The numbers are too gaudy. And again, when Sando was on, Aaron Schatz was on before. He was an MVP voter. Aaron Schatz had you know, was still leaning Lamar Jackson at the time. We had him on. And then Sando came on later from The Athletic. And really smart people were sort of killing him on Twitter. And I'm like, he's kind of right. Look at the stats. Like, it's not even close. Josh, listen, it takes nothing away from Josh Allen. Let's try to hold two thoughts in our heads at the same time. It literal MVP, if you remove Josh Allen from the Bills, they probably win 2-3 games. So I get it. I get why people think Josh Allen is, you know, in their minds is an MVP. There is an argument to be made. But once you throw those Lamar Jackson numbers out there, it's like, if he's got the second best passer rating of all time, 39-4 again, nobody's ever done 40-4. You know, it's like at some point, and 852 rushing yards is like a top tenner of all time for running back. You can't keep having all these numbers and not be the MVP, as much as you don't want to give him a third. Just want to say this again. Tonight, of course, the third game in the Circus Survivor contest of the Christmas Quirk Week, if you will. Seattle at Chicago, where the Seahawks are 3.5-point favorites. By the way, we lost five of the remaining 45 entries yesterday. 4 on the Steelers, 1 on the Texans. 20 are on the Seahawks tonight. 6 are on the Bears, including the entry that I'm invested in. We're on the Bears. By the way, we only have the Bears and Steelers. We, Jake, only had the Bears and Steelers left to choose from this week because it's only 6 teams to choose from. So he made the correct choice. The Bears are the correct choice because, first of all, we'd be done if we were on the Steelers already. That's obvious. But the Bears was the correct choice as best plus EV play because we knew, based on distribution prediction, that Seattle would get the most. And, in fact, Seattle did get the most with 20. So I'm always surprised when people are surprised where you end up. Like, you took the Bears? Well, yeah, that's the reason we took the Bears for a couple of reasons, one of which was sort of mechanical. The other is kind of a game theory play. So we'll see. Could be over tonight. There will either be 20 left after tonight. If the Bears win, there will be 34 left if the Seahawks win in terms of entries left. But as far as tonight, again, concerned, the Bears, they've lost. They were 4-2. Now they're 4-11. That's ungood. That's 9 losses in a row. Again, now 4-point dogs, by the way, are the Bears. I actually like the Bears here plus the points. As much as I like the favorites yesterday, yesterday was the total should have bet more situation with those games. The Bears plus 4, I kind of like tonight, survivor entry aside. And Seattle will be without Kenneth Walker. That's no surprise. This will be his fifth missed game of the year, now an ankle injury. It was other injuries before, by the way, but now it's an ankle injury. It was a calf injury before. Bears have been awful at start of games. They only score 1.3 first quarter points on average, 1.3 points per first quarter, while allowing 5.7. So if the Bears are to do something, maybe get off to a better start. That might be a good suggestion. Seattle, of course, if they win, they're looking at a winner-take-all NFC West game next week. But I think Seattle needs some points also involved in that. If Seattle loses, they are not eliminated tonight because the Rams still losing on Sunday would still make that game next week against the Rams meaningful for the NFC West. Seahawks cannot be a wild card. Zach Cohen joins us, ladies and gentlemen. Betting on X is where you can find him on Twitter, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Any play on tonight's game, Zach? And good morning to you, sir. Happy holidays.
Good morning to you. I don't have a play on this game. I wrote it up. I write up every standalone or primetime game for VSiN.com. I gave away a lean on the under at 43.5. And I did write in there that, like, the stats kind of lean towards the Seahawks in this game, but not in a huge way, not in a way that you'd expect out of a, you know, a difference between the records of these two teams. EPA per play, there's a very, very small margin. And also, Seattle's just 1-3 against the spread this season when playing against teams with losing records. So hasn't exactly been handling its business against the teams you say they should do it against. Also, it's going to be, you know, like a little cold out there that could kind of mix things up a little bit. But I'm with you. Like, I think that if I were to take anything right now, when looking at the sides, I'd probably take the Bears at the plus 4.
Yeah, I have a bet in the account already on it. Not one of my millions plays, but nonetheless, I have a bet on the Bears tonight. Okay, you do like, in a big showdown on Sunday, you do like the Vikings on the money line against the Packers.
I do. I just kind of think that Brian Flores' defense is going to be able to take Josh Jacobs out of that game. It's a top 5 rushing defense in rush EPA per play allowed. And then from there, you're talking about Jordan Love on the road against Minnesota. Love has not been nearly as good as a road quarterback as he has been at home throughout his career. And I just kind of think that this Minnesota team is clicking right now. They're early in the season. You know, Sam Darnold started off really hot. He cooled down a little bit. Now he's scorching hot, like even better than he was before he started the year. At this point, I just think you have to treat him as a, you know, a really good quarterback. And I think that they have a, you know, a tilt, a little advantage at the quarterback position with Darnold's at home over Love on the road. And I trust the Minnesota defense a little bit more than I do Green Bay.
Five great games of the NBA yesterday. Zach, one of your true loves, the NBA, and I'm not sure how many people were watching, but they were great finishes, including the Warriors and the Lakers, where Steph hit two ridiculous threes, but Reeves with the game winner at the end, so the Lakers beat the Warriors. I don't know, again, I was saying earlier, I don't know what Adam Silver did to upset Roger Goodell, but he really stuffed it in his face yesterday in all kinds of ways, plus Beyonce and Mariah Carey on top of it. Were you watching the NBA? I'm curious, a guy like you who's a big NBA fan, how much NFL versus NBA were you watching?
I watched a lot of the NBA. I think I watched the last three games in their entirety. I was watching the first two, you know, like on my computer screen while I had the football games up on the big screen. But once I saw, you know, they were turning into blowouts, I was able to just give the NBA the attention that it deserved. I do think it's a little bit lame that the NFL tried to encroach on the NBA's Christmas. And, you know, the product isn't as good. The on-field product for the NFL, in my opinion, is not as good as the NBA's. I know that the ratings will say something completely different. And the NFL is going to have a lot more viewers than the NBA did yesterday. But I still think you see, like you saw yesterday with those five games, that you're going to get a little bit more close games in the NBA.
So you're the guy who was watching the NBA. No, I was more.
Yeah,
I'm sure
the one,
it was
the one guy
you.
In the ratings. Yeah.
Okay. You do have, we have more than five games today. I think we have about nine games today, and you have a few plays. What do you have?
My favorite one is Pacers plus 5.5 against the Thunder, and it's really just Indiana's scorching hot right now. They've won five games in a row in that span. They're third in the league in net rating, and it's really easy to kind of throw it out and say it's a small sample size, but I feel like they've looked a lot more like the team they were towards the end of last season, and that's really the team that I expect the Pacers to be the rest of the way. The talent on the roster has not changed. If anything, it has got a lot better with Benedict Mathurin now being healthy, and I think this is a team that does play really well together. I think the early in the season, there were some struggles for Tyrese Halliburton. He has really figured it out lately, and I just kind of think that now that they are healthy and only getting healthier with Aaron Nesmith coming back soon, I think that they can compete in games with teams like the Thunder, especially at home, where Indiana is a very difficult place to play.
Pacers 5.5-point dogs against OKC tonight. You're also on the Pelicans, correct? Yeah, Pelicans taking on the Raptors.
Yeah, that's another one. It's going to be really hard to watch. The Pelicans are very tough to trust this season, but I do think that they are a little bit better than their record suggests. And I know that there are injuries throughout the lineup. Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram, those are two big losses, but they still have a lot of talent left there. And I think Eve Missy is playing really great at the center position. I think he's going to be a factor in this game because he kind of has the length and the defensive ability to slow down an Alperen Şengün. And the Rockets are missing Dylan Brooks in this game, who, yeah, maybe not a great scorer, but definitely a big like motor player that helps them go defensively. And it looks like Tari Eason's questionable, and we don't know if he's going to play. I have a hard time believing the Rockets are going to win by a big margin, but they probably will end up winning the game late.
Hornets, Wizards, throw out the records when these two teams play. You have a play on this, though.
Well, Charlotte's a team I was really high on before the season, which makes me seem like an idiot. But this is the first time we are going to have a relatively healthy Hornets team. I think Brandon Miller is expected to come back tonight. Mark Williams is now back for them at the center position. This is the team that I was expecting them to have early in the year. It has obviously gone very poorly. Their last game was one of the most embarrassing performances I've seen in a very long time against the Rockets. But this is a Wizards team that is just absolutely terrible. They're not competitive. This is a very good opportunity for Charlotte to get on the board with a win. I think that they're going to cover by winning by, you know, at least five.
The 7-22 Hornets against the 4-23 Wizards. Are you going to watch that game in its entirety, Zach?
Yeah, this is bigger than the Beyonce Bowl to me.
Okay. By the way, I have to go back and watch the Beyonce thing. I didn't see any of it. I heard it was fantastic. All right, real quick as we go out, who's winning the Super Bowl? Now that we know that Kansas City has home field throughout the AFC playoffs, who's winning it?
I don't want to say Kansas City, but it's just starting to look like everything I said all year was wrong again and that they're going to win it.
I said it when we do our power rankings. I'm like, he's going to put on his cape in the postseason and do what he did last year. Yeah,
they're already doing it now.
Zach, enjoy, man. Happy holidays to you, sir.
You too. Happy holidays.
Happy New Year. Coming back with Pete Futek right here on A Numbers Game.
A
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Do you want to become a sharper better this holiday season? VSiN has the ultimate gift for you or the sports better in your life. Right now, take advantage of our holiday special. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we offer through May 1st for just $79. Sign up now. Get instant access to our daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, 24/7 video access, and all of our betting guides. That's college football, playoffs, Super Bowl, March Madness betting guide, everything you need to win big this season. Make the holiday season unforgettable with the gift of smarter betting. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now and unwrap your winning edge today. Happy New Year to you and yours. Do we get to say a Happy New Year now? Is that how this works? So after Christmas, Christmas is in the clear now. Now do we start with the Happy New Year's? Because I'm doing the catch-all Happy Holidays. Or is this still a little too early for Happy New Year? I have to give it a couple more days. And then after January 1st, this is the part I really struggle with. How long are you allowed to say Happy New Year for before someone you say it to somebody and they're like, could you stop with the Happy New Year already? It's January 13th, for God's sakes. Questions we need answered. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Vegas Vice talking about Tim's prop that he was suggesting earlier. He said, Harold Fannin, the best tight end in football, will be a first or second round draft choice. Once he gets the all-time tight end yardage record, why would he play the rest of this meaningless game, though, and risk injury? Don't understand why the yardage over-under is rising. Interesting. I kind of side with what you're saying. Chris Hartman. Gil, think Goff MVP still playable? Talking about Jared Goff here for MVP. Two primetime games coming up in week 17 and 18. Could be 15-2 in the hardest division in football. Worst game was a 5-interception win. Lamar's was a home loss to Vegas, plus 4 more losses. Allen, I won't even say the verb here that he used, by Baltimore. Allen was crushed by Baltimore, let's say. And the 9 completion game versus Houston was impressive, too. Detroit ravaged with injury. Hey, look, there's an argument to be made. I just think when it comes down to it, most of these 50 voters are going to look down at those numbers for Lamar and say, yeah, that's actually good, Jared Goff. That's actually really good, Josh Allen. But this guy over here, like, we've kept this metric for 50 years, and it's the second best. Oh, by the way, he's also a top 10 rushing quarterback of all time. Oh, by the way, his touchdown to interception thing is like the greatest ratio of someone who's thrown 40 touchdowns of all time. Like, at some point, you just have to say there's a position called quarterback. Can you ever do better than these numbers? Have we ever seen better than these numbers? And the answer is kind of no. That's my argument. Just an argument, just an opinion. 3JackH3131. Good luck on your survivor play, but I'm guessing it was hard to say the Bears are the right play on air. As you know, Caleb Williams, he's not that special. The exact quote is, nothing special for Merrill Hodge. And it wasn't hard to say because it is game theory. By the way, it was the right play for Jake because it was Chicago versus Pittsburgh. By the way, we'd be gone already, so he couldn't pick anybody else besides Chicago or Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is done now. And Chicago, again, because you could predict, and what was predicted correctly, that Seattle would have the most plays of the remaining entry. Most of the remaining entries would be on Seattle. Chicago is sort of the double whammy play, right? Not only do you advance, but you catapult forward, and your entry is going to be worth double. Literally, it's 40 right now. There's 20 on the Seahawks. Your entry, if you get through, will be worth double. And if you're out, you're out. By the way, trust me, Jake is doing fine with the hedging as well. Put a bunch. We'll get into the monetization with Crack. Put a bunch on Baltimore yesterday. God knows how much he's putting on Seattle tonight as a hedge. Jason Stark, hey, Gil, Steelers, woof. Regarding Beyonce, my wife goes, is this the Super Bowl? I said, no, hun. Christmas and Netflix, first NFL game, LOL. Shows you the level of cash they dumped into the production of that. Now the question is, will the Super Bowl halftime show even match that? Wow, I got to check it out for sure. Pete Futak joins us on the road somewhere in the great state of Illinois. He joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line to talk some college football. How you doing, Peter? Drive safely.
As Homer would put it, I'm somewhere where I don't know where I am.
I think the line is, by the way, I don't know where we're going, but we're making great time. I think that's the line you have to use. Yeah, the wife will enjoy that. All right, Pete, I want to ask you this question. And by the way, don't text. Try to pay attention to the road.
Absolutely.
First round of the college football playoff. Most folks are like, oh, my God, these blowouts, these are terrible things. But you are a self-described Power 5, now Power 4, snob. You like when the cream rises to the top. Did you enjoy the first round and its blowouts?
No, but it was entertaining in its own way. And You know, in terms of this, my snobbery, it's not just that. It's actually for ease of making picks and ease of making bets, because college football is actually pretty easy because the talent disparity is so different. And so when you do have games like this, it's a little easier to pick. But when it comes to the games, the playoff itself, everyone's got to kind of recalibrate what the college football playoff is, because we're so used to like March Madness, where you have all these wacky upsets and all these crazy things. In the 10-year history of the college football playoff, out of the 50 conference championships, there wasn't any weird outlier win. TCU over Michigan was like the only crazy college football playoff game that happened. You're not going to get a Cinderella run in this thing. So what you do have to have are teams like Indiana and SMU. They get their chance. This was the argument about Florida State last year and UCF a few years ago. All they want is their shot. So you give them that, and then reality comes to breakfast, and then they show them what they are. But everyone's focusing on Indiana and SMU. What about Tennessee? That's a big power blue blood. They got rocked. So this is where you get all these big-time teams who are better than everyone else. They got time off to prepare. They looked faster. They looked rested, and they showed what they can do, and they get that time.
Would you have preferred that the upcoming quarterfinals be on the home fields of one of the teams, or do you like the neutral?
Yeah, no, I kind of like the neutral at this point. There are a whole slew of tweaks that have to be made. I do think there has to be, the reseeding thing is popular. Logistically, it's really hard to do. The main problem with the first round, I have to go back to that and look at the second round, is that the committee screwed up the rankings and the seeds to begin with, which gave us a couple of those bad games. I'm hoping that we get something good out of anything from Boise State or Arizona State. I don't think it's going to happen, but again, necessary evil in this process. And the one thing that does negate that is the factor that these games are at a neutral site. But everyone's kind of making a little bit of a big deal about, the home field advantage in the first round. No, again, Ohio State, Penn State, Notre Dame, 3 weeks off with time to prepare for teams that they're supposed to beat, and they kind of played how they were supposed to play.
New Year's Eve, Penn State, 11-point favorites against Boise State. On New Year's Date. Say again? What'd you say?
It sounds crazy on that, and they are the lower-seeded team, but yes.
Texas 13.5-point favorites against Arizona State on New Year's Day. Oregon 2.5-point dogs. Ohio State is the 2.5-point favorite against Oregon on New Year's Day, in perhaps the marquee matchup, with apologies to the next one. Georgia 2.5-point favorites against Notre Dame. Which is the team ATS that you like the best of those four?
Ohio State's, I gotta stick with it. I think that team, that the thing to remember about that Tennessee win too was that Tennessee, they only had the one win over Alabama. When we're talking about strength of schedules and stuff, they got there because they beat Alabama. They didn't beat anybody else who's all that great. This was an okay Tennessee team. Obviously, Oregon's really good. I'm still sticking with the idea that Ohio State, that this might be the national championship in the Rose Bowl. I don't like Texas giving away all those points. It's Texas. They're going to blow it at some point. Arizona State's physical. I think Texas wins. But that's a lot of points to be given away. I think Penn State rolls over Boise State. And the problem with Georgia and Notre Dame is going to be, just can Georgia show up and be that type of team that Ohio State was? Because Georgia and Ohio State are the two most talented teams in college football. They just didn't play like it all year. You saw what happened when Ohio State was like, enough of this. We're just going to show you we just got more talent than everyone else. The question is going to be, can you get past the no Carson Beck thing at quarterback? I think they do. I think they beat Notre Dame.
I'm going to love it if Ohio State wins the national championship and all the Ohio State fans are like, yeah, but the Michigan thing still bothers us.
They're the worst people in the world. And I've said this on various Ohio radio stations. I got a hit later today and I'll say the same thing. Literally the most miserable fan base. You cannot make this group happy because you are dead on right. Yeah, we won, but we lost to Michigan again. Well, this is Ryan Day's on a hot seat. Herb Street's not wrong here. There is a significant portion of that base that is exactly like that.
It's incredible. So real quick, just to clarify, you may have said this in the mix here, but if I said to you right now, Pete, who is the national champion, you would say?
Ohio State, Oregon winner, I would say Ohio State.
Do you wish they had seeded it differently so these two teams don't have to meet in the quarters?
I get why they had to do it. They screwed it up earlier in the process, not to go way back here and get too deep here. When they did the whole thing, we're not going to punish teams that lose their conference championships. Well, it's the exact wrong way to look at it, and it goes against what their rankings were. They screwed that up at the beginning, and that's why we're getting this now.
Pete, drive safely. Thank you so much. Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year too, Gil. Have a good one.
Pete Futak, everybody. At Pete Futak, F-I-U-T-A-K on Twitter. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. And by the way, he is the emperor, the creator of collegefootballnews.com. Check it out. Treasure trove of college football information. Crack is next, unscripted, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.